welcome to this worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls. And I'm glad to be joined in leadership today in our worship service with our youth minister, Reverend Glenn Roundsville, and our musical director, Dave Valerio. If you are a visitor today, we hope that you will be with us often. Pastor Glenn, would you please call us to worship?
Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. We seek him now as we call ourselves to worship. Come today acknowledging the fact that we live in a troubled world. We realize that at times we have contributed to making life more complicated and painful for ourselves and for those around us. We are reminded of that in the prayer that you taught us as you commanded us to forgive one another. We are encouraged by that opportunity to restore relationships and by your statement that in this world we will have trouble, but that you have overcome the world. We praise you for that as we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day your daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Glenn. By way of announcements, we do have a fairly good supply of masks for the moment, so please feel free to come into the office. Kathy and I are generally there on Tuesdays and Thursdays. The masks are on the shelf outside the church office. The child care is back in session, so the front door is open Monday through Friday, so even on other days you can certainly come in and do that if you wish. I would just remind you we're still receiving donations for the summer cafe, the kids' summer cafes. You can bring those to the church, and we're always looking for food for Lenore's pantry as well. Are there any other announcements that anyone else would like to make? All right, if not, then let us hear our music and sing along for the beauty of the earth.
Okay, so you should have lyrics that were sent to you either by email, or if you go down on the bottom and find the little chat box, you'll see that Ashley posted the lyrics in the chat box for everybody too. So we want everybody's lips moving and join together and sing for the beauty of the earth.
For the over and around us lies. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For thyself, best gift divine, to the world so freely given. For that great, great love of thine, peace on earth and joy in heaven. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise.
Time when we share our celebrations. We did have a wedding a week ago last night on the CE lawn for Sandra Jackson and Walter Thibodeau, and we celebrate their happiness certainly with them. I'd like to also celebrate the fact that Vinnie Fobert did a great job. He said he would get the lawn ready for us, and he did. He's done a lot of work on our landscaping, and he's made everything look so much nicer. So we celebrate that with you, Vinnie. I'd like to also give thanks to Pastor Glenn for filling in for me for these last two Sundays. And Carmen wanted to celebrate the fact that the two parks, Brookside Village and Sunset Acres in Plainville, have won their legal battles, and now the tenants own those parks. So good for them. That was a hard fight. So we celebrate that with you. I see that Carmen and Richard are here today. So good for you. Good for you. Is there anyone else that has a celebration? You can unmute yourself and by all means, shout it out.
I would like to thank everyone for the prayers that you gave me for the operation. Everything went wonderfully, and I'm walking. I'm allowed to walk without crutches at all, if you can imagine that, a week after knee replacement. So fabulous. And I also would like to thank Sherilyn and Ashley for taking over seamlessly for the services last week. So that's it. Thank you.
Very good. Anyone else?
Yeah, I have a praise. Somebody near and dear to me, it's anonymous, but has 6 months sobriety.
Wonderful.
That We've been is praying for the addictions. Thank you, everybody.
Good, Jackie. Good. Eric, you said you wanted to say something.
Yeah, so my mom mentioned a little while back that my sister Crystal was defending her dissertation for a doctorate. So that happened this past Friday, and my sister Crystal is officially a doctor. So,
hooray! Yeah,
so it's pretty exciting stuff.
Good. Good for you. Good for your family. Good for you, Tammy.
I have a couple.
Yeah.
So we attempted to go on vacation Friday night, and my car died on 495.
Oh.
And we were stuck there for an hour, finally got a tow, and we did make it, though, to vacation yesterday, so that's good. And also, a dear friend of mine who was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, who was just extremely ill, and they thought she might just make it till October. Now, with surgery and medication, it looks like she has...
And prayer.
Oh my gosh, prayer every day. They gave her a really good prognosis, much longer. And it just is, we visited yesterday and I just can't even, yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great to hear, Kristen. Any other celebrations?
My oldest son, Sean, as you all remember him as a little guy, I'm sure, is 41 today.
Wow. Happy birthday to Sean.
And yeah, Michelle Martino especially. She taught him at Old Town in Sunday school.
Oh, okay. Very good. Very
We're
good.
All staying so young. How's that happening?
I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I don't know how I could possibly have a 41-year-old son.
I meant to mention last week, Eric actually turned 32 last week. So he, my youngest one, is now 32.
Happy birthday, Eric.
Happy birthday, Eric.
He had a few choir members sing him happy birthday, myself and Sherilyn and Warna and Charlie sang him happy birthday together.
It was awesome. It actually worked out really well.
That's great.
And we, and then I also had a joy. My very dear friends that live in Charlotte, North Carolina, they were concerned that her husband had contracted COVID, and he had two tests, and he got results yesterday that it was negative. So we were very grateful for that.
Indeed, indeed.
Reverend Carol, I'm thankful that Richard is home and he's doing much better.
Wonderful. Yeah, we'll include him in our prayers for this week anyway. Yeah. Richard was in the hospital, had to be rushed to the hospital again, but I'm so glad you're home, Richard.
Thank you. He's doing better. Thank
good. You. Good. Anyone else?
Just wanted to let you know that Carol Doble was able to go up and see Bud this week up in Newburyport, New Hampshire. They visited 12 feet apart, but she got to see him in person for the first time in a long time. He's doing real good.
Good, good. And I'm glad she was able to finally see him. I know she's wanted to for a long time.
Neighbor took her up.
Good.
Looked good.
Wonderful. Thank you for that, Bob.
I just want to say my son just turned 40 this past week, and he is my baby.
Another young mother. Okay, any other celebrations? If not, then let us turn to our concerns as a church family. This morning we're praying, of course, for people who are ill, for others in need of prayers, and those people include, we'll continue to keep Cora in our prayers for a little while, for Nikolai, for Steve, that's Pam Morse's son-in-law who had a work injury, for Ken, Lee and Tyler, for Wade and Brigitte, for Cher and Jen and Steve and Marie, for Wayne, who's doing really well, yes, but after his surgery, and is going to have his other knee done in October. So we're with you, Wayne, all the way on that. We also pray for Ed and Janet. I have not caught up with them yet, and I don't know if Janet has ever gotten to the hospital or not for the procedure that she was looking for. We pray for two people who were in the Boston hospitals this past week. Richard was one, the other is Deb. And I see that Deb is here with us today too. So she was due home on Friday. She emailed me and said that she was indeed home. So we're very pleased about that. For those who are in the nursing homes and assisted living, Bud, Jackie, and Carol. We also, of course, continue to pray for all the people who are suffering from COVID and for first responders, everyone who works in the medical profession, for those who suffer from addictions, for our government officials who are working hard to protect us. And as always, we pray for our nation and our communities as we face these difficult days together. So please join with me for a moment of prayer and feel free in the silence to lift up any names that you may have in your hearts this morning. Let us pray. God of many names, God of cloud and fire and burning bushes, reveal yourself to us in the names you have given us and in the circumstances of our lives. Do you hide yourself from us to distract us from pursuits that are trivial? Is your mystery intentional or just taxing of our limited minds or short attention spans? Teach us to listen behind the form of words to the sounds of emotion, to discern the echoes of hollowness, to detect the haughtiness of arrogance, to measure the strength of challenge, to plumb the depths of sincerity, to discover hidden agendas, to gauge the degree of honesty. Teach us to be straightforward in our own speaking that we may not hide from one another in endless games of confusion and misunderstanding. Make us slow to blame others and quick to forgive as you have forgiven us. Hear our prayers for those people whom we have mentioned here today, and hear now the names of others whom we hold in our hearts and now lift into your presence during this time of silence. Loving God, we pray that you would minister to each of these people as you know they have need. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen.
Scripture reading today comes from the Psalm 107, verses 1 to 7, and is a thanksgiving for deliverance from many troubles. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to an inhabited town. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way until they reached an inhabited town. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind, for he satisfies the thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things.
Thank you, Pastor Glenn. This is a tough time for our nation. It's a tough time for our church. It's a tough time for families. It's a tough time for our faith. The pandemic is raging through our country. We have a variety of people who still believe that this pandemic is somehow a hoax, that it's all made up. I heard of two young people who died of COVID over these past few weeks, and both of them said, "I thought it was a hoax." And that was the last words that either one of them said. Churches remain physically closed for the most part. People who are not in a position to work from home and whose unemployment payments may be running out face possible eviction, hunger, and fear. Families face another month, or who knows how much longer, trying to work jobs at home and fill in for teachers as education officials struggle to try to decide about opening the schools or remaining in online classes, or some kind of a hybrid of both. Isolation is causing depression and despair for many people. Now, many of the Psalms were written by King David, as we've been talking about these past weeks, but some were not, and most biblical scholars do not think that Psalm 107 was one of those that was written by King David. But it really became a hymn of thanksgiving, possibly sung as groups of pilgrims approached the temple in Jerusalem to celebrate one of the feasts and offering thanks for God's deliverance from various dangers that the Israelites had faced. It's a lengthy psalm, and I suggested that Pastor Glenn just read the opening verses. And these words suggest that in all circumstances, we should be thankful for the steadfast love of God. Further along in the psalm, it talks of the many difficulties that the Hebrews faced and how they responded. It says this: some sat in darkness and in gloom. Some were sick through their sinful ways. They cried to the Lord in their trouble. They were at their wits' end. There are days when we indeed are at our wits' end. Master Eichhart, who was a medieval theologian and a contemporary of St. Francis of Assisi, once wrote, God is like a person who clears his throat while hiding and so gives himself away. It's kind of a novel and helpful expression, I think, for illuminating an uncertainty we all have about God's involvement in human affairs and how God governs the world. And Christians often hold contradictory views about God's involvement in the world. There are some Christians who speak about the direct intervention of God as if they attribute even the most mundane functions of daily life to God's direct activity in their lives. Sometimes this is called divine intervention. Some will say that this pandemic is God's punishment for our sinful ways. In my boredom and isolation of this pandemic, I have taken to walking more and more. For those of you who know me, this is thoroughly distasteful to me, unless, of course, I have my dog to be walking with me, because I have always said that exercise is against my religion. And when I get the urge to exercise, I just sit down until it passes. Nevertheless, I have been walking, and often to maintain a weight loss that I have achieved, thank you to my little dog Angel. So I can sympathize with the overweight business executive who decided it was time to shed some of those excess pounds. And he took his new diet seriously, even changing his driving route to avoid his favorite bakery. One morning, however, he arrived at work carrying a gigantic coffee cake. And he was roundly scolded by his staff, even though he planned to share it with the staff. But his smile remained angelic. "This is a very special coffee cake," he explained. "I accidentally drove by the bakery this morning, and there in the window was a host of goodies. I felt this was no accident, so I prayed, 'Lord, if you want me to have one of these delicious coffee cakes, let there be a parking place directly in front of the bakery, and I will take that as a sign.' And sure enough, it worked. The eighth time around the block, there it was." Divine intervention? Probably not. Other Christians may be essentially what we call deists. Now, the Latin word for God is deus, so it simply means that they believe in a deity. All right? In their view, there is a deity, a God, and after creating the world and revealing the divine will and its structure and the laws of its nature, God should not be looked to for further intervention. These Christians would simply look at the pandemic as a part of the natural law that God created, and it would not occur to a deist to ask God to put an end to it. Then there are those other Christians in the center, those who might be termed occasionalists. They believe that God does act in the world, that God raises up prophets, that God answered Israel's deepest prayers for deliverance, and eventually sent Jesus. The person or persons who composed Psalm 107 would probably be called occasionalists, because the psalm cites examples of God's intervention in answer to Israel's cry. In verse 6 of Psalm 107, it says that when the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, hungry and thirsty, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. But just as there are examples of divine intervention, there are as well many times when the people of God called out for deliverance, and their voice was not heard, or at least was not thought to be heard. A God in hiding was how they often put it when their cries went unheeded. It's a mystery as to why the presence of God is sometimes felt, and at other times we seem to feel nothing. All believers have experienced moments of divine intervention and also times of feeling alone, with dead flat prayers finally sinking into prolonged silences. Some occasionalists might be thinking at this very moment, why doesn't God intervene? Why doesn't God put an end to this pandemic? Why would God endanger our very existence as a species or as a church? God can, in God's own wisdom, directly affect our lives and yet at another time effectively leave us quite alone. Just as our parents loved us, but they were not above saying, "Don't bother me, go out and play." Or maybe a better analogy would be a loving parent who wants desperately to intercede, but understands it would not be in the best interest of the child. Maybe God is telling us as individuals and all of the churches that it is a time to examine everything about our lives and our church. Maybe God is saying, behold, I am doing a new thing. I don't know whether you're familiar with it or not, but there's a famous old painting of a Victorian doctor at the bedside of a sick child. The doctor is sitting with his head bowed, not performing any medical miracles, just waiting. The title of this painting is The Crisis, and it refers to the period in an illness when all that can be done has been done, and the patient will either get better or will die. It is in times of crisis that one wants and sort of expects God to intervene, and God does. Sometimes the intervention is through the mystery of the body healing or fighting off disease and becoming well. Most prayers offered to God in a crisis are for that particular result. But sometimes the afflicted patient does not recover and even succumbs. Some will say that God intervened in that result too, saying God took them home to be with God in heaven. At other times, a person lingers and suffers, and people will say that that is God's will, that God is teaching the victim or the loved one who is watching and await some lesson. There may be truth in all of these interpretations, but there is no hard and fast answer as to why or when God intervenes in human affairs. Only the fact that God's acts are always a reflection of the divine agenda and not ours. God's silence, on the other hand, perhaps means that what we are seeking may not be in our best interest and is probably not on God's agenda for that reason. While we do not know why God sometimes seems to intervene and at other times does not, then perhaps we should be alert to those times when God does indeed clear his throat and give himself away to us. The psalmist ends this psalm with these words, reminding us again that the haughty will be brought down and the needy will be raised up. It ends this way: when they are diminished and brought low through oppression, trouble, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes, but he raises up the needy out of distress and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness stops its mouth. Let those who are wise give heed to these things and consider the steadfast love of the Lord. I hope that we may all rest in God's steadfast love. Amen.
Now receive the benediction. May the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That concludes our